Started. Would you like to do my hand up at the top?
That's fine.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
It is now 6, so we're going to call to order the January 6th, 2022 Public Safety Committee meeting. Here at City Hall, we have Chief Jensen, Deputy Chief Ray, is it Deputy Chief?
Yep.
Okay, I keep forgetting if it's Commander in Chief.
Deputy Chief.
Deputy Chief Ray McIsaac. Alderman, I can't pronounce your last name.
Soley, sorry.
Alderman Transier is present, and Alderman Merrick is with us on Zoom, as well as our minute taker, Mary Liz. So first and foremost, do we have any citizen comments on this evening's agenda? I don't see anyone here in City Hall, and I don't see anyone on Zoom, so I'll take that as a no. Next, we move on to minutes from November 18th, 2021. Does anyone have any additions, deletions, corrections to make to the minutes from November's Public Safety Committee meeting? Seeing none, we'll take them as presented. I do have an amendment to make to tonight's committee meeting agenda. I'd like to move old business number one, PS 2021-25, body cameras, to the top of today's new business list. If there's any objection to that, please let me know. Otherwise, we'll proceed with body cameras.
Awesome.
Okay, so go ahead.
So I'm going to start out real quick, and then I'm going to turn everything over to Ray. Just to kind of recap, the last meeting, we talked about the IML, the updates to IML. We talked about the sample policy that was in the packet, watch guard body cameras, why watch guard. And we also talked about the different types of features and specifications. And Ray went in and did a really nice job kind of explaining everything that goes along with the body camera program as far as equipment and what specifically is needed. Talked a little bit about grant funding, and then we talked about any additional unknown costs. I know there were several questions that you guys had, and Ray's, I know, gotten most of the answers back to you. There's a couple that, at least one question I know that he's gonna answer today. And then trying to get some information from the Illinois Law Enforcement Training and Standards Board. They have been decimated with staffing and obviously with police departments and training. So I think we're still waiting for one thing from my Let's Be, but I'll let Ray talk about that. And then at the end of the meeting, I'll take back over and we'll go from there. So I'm going to turn it over to Ray.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much. So I will get into what information I have since we last met. Chief Jensen did a good summary of what we talked about beforehand. So where I'd like to start in the packet is the WatchGuard body camera quote comparison for 33 devices. Last time when I presented, we had discussed the difference between 33 cameras, 25 cameras. We had a good discussion about it. What we would like to do is purchase the 33 devices, which would be one body camera per officer once we reach our 33 officer sworn officers in May 1, which we're budgeted for. The reason is as we've discussed it, these body cameras sit on a charger like your radio might on your desk, and for a major incident, it'd be beneficial in our estimation and our belief that even as command staff, we could reach across that desk, grab our body cameras, and place them on our chest and go out to a scene if need be, rather than trying to go to a bank and relying on making sure somebody had properly charged it. And it just kind of has, I think it adds a little more accountability for people to take care of their own equipment too. So the rest of this is prefaced on having 33 devices. As you can see in the quote comparison, we had a chance to look at it beforehand, that the price on the V300 internal storage option, which is where we would purchase the cameras outright, that price went up quite a bit. And the reason is there was a misunderstanding, number one, with the licensing. Sometimes back and forth the quotes, there's stuff gets taken out for some reason. So I finally got the proper explanation, and verified these numbers. Basically, right now we have Evidence Library 4, which is their software from WatchGuard that we use for in-car cameras. We would be upgrading to Evidence Library 5, which is their newest version. And for every body camera, for the one workstation inside the building, and for each squad car, there would be a license that needs to be purchased. So there's one site license key, as you can see, it's $1,000. There are 13 in-car license keys, which obviously for the in-car cameras, and there's 33 body-worn camera license keys. The in-car license keys would total $2,535, and the evidence, the 33 body-worn camera license keys for the evidence library would total $6,435. The other change in price is the rack server. Kind of going around the room, as I explained, I'm not an expert on storage, especially when we don't know how much storage we're going to need yet. And a lot of that obviously is going to depend on what gets flagged and retained and for how long. So speaking with InterDev about storage, you know, we talked about just getting a bigger rack server right off the bat. Matt Church at InterDev explained that if we had to keep upgrading the server to make it larger, that there would be additional costs incurred, which obviously you wouldn't be able to ahead of time budget for, not knowing how much we would need. So originally we had a 58 terabyte rack server. I just went ahead and upgraded this to 116, which is the next size rack server that WatchGuard provided. It's basically double the size of the old one. That provides 116 terabytes. I think, you know, from some of the discussion we had last time, it seemed everyone agreed that 58 terabytes probably wasn't going to last too terribly long. This is, of course, the internal storage solution if we decide to store all our own video rather than the cloud-based. So that rack server jumped that price up to $20,235. I believe the original price was around $14,000 for the 58 terabytes. Of course, this is warrantied for 5 years by WatchGuard. But that's where this additional price, that's what brought us to $114,500. As far as grant reimbursement, that is where I'm looking to get an answer. Obviously, if we purchase the cameras outright, we're guaranteed to be eligible for the grant program. Doesn't mean we're going to get the full grant funding, but we're at least known to be eligible. I talked to Chief Counsel at Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board, and the way it was explained to me is the lease program, if you do not meet the program requirements for the grant, there's nothing for them to take back because you don't own it. With the purchase outright, they can take the cameras back from you if you don't meet the grant requirements. However, that being said, is with obviously statutorily, every agency is going to have to go to body cameras, and many are already making that move as we are. The option that the majority of agencies are choosing to go with because of the reasons we've talked about and I'll go further into is the lease program with the cloud-based storage is the most advantageous avenue. So I was told by this chief counsel at Iletsby, the Illinois Law Enforcement Training Standards Board, that they were to have a meeting at the end of December, I think around the 21st, somewhere around there, that they were going to discuss including the lease programs in the grant program. However, unfortunately, I've made numerous attempts to contact him since then, including up until this morning, and I have not received any feedback on whether that was discussed that meeting and what the outcome was. So I will continue to follow up on that. WatchGuard seems to believe that other agencies, they think have been able to do the lease program, and in their estimation, that they were able to get grant funding. I'm still trying to find out. It's not a guaranteed thing, and I don't have an answer yet. I was hoping to have it tonight. I don't, so I apologize. But I will follow up on that. And as soon as I know an answer, I will email the committee to let everyone know where we're at on that. So,
you guys aren't dependent on grant funding to help pay the cost of this, right?
No, it's a bonus, right? It'd be silly not to apply for $29,535, right? But no, not in our estimation. It should be an issue, but it's something we would certainly like to pursue.
Yeah. And regardless of grant funding or grant reimbursement, this is something that the city's going to have to do eventually anyway.
Correct. Absolutely. And we want to do it sooner than later, obviously. So so you can see that price for the lease program is $147,970. Again, with grant reimbursement, it could be reduced. Chief Jensen included down here, he included a breakdown of a five-year payment plan. This isn't set in stone. There might be, they may require up to $39,000 as a one-time payment up front, but that would reduce the next 4 years, obviously. It doesn't change the total overall amount. So, you know, these, the total is good. It just, the annual totals, you know, we have to finalize those with WatchGuard as to what exactly they drop dead need down from upfront payment. So that's something we can work out once we start moving towards this and we're ready for approval. Some of the issues, you know, as I just wanted to explain, because obviously it's one thing to say, hey, we really like the lease program, we really like the cloud base, but I kind of wanted to go into some reasons of how we came to our decision. I know we discussed a lot of them last time, but there's some other things I looked into and calculated since our last meeting that I just figured probably a good idea to share it with you. Obviously, we know the additional unknown costs. We looked at the lease program. We already talked about it. The potential reimbursement, $29,535. I don't have an answer to that yet. However, even with the purchase outright, there's no guarantee we would secure the grant funding anyway, but it's usually a pretty good bet, I believe, from what I hear. The capital expenditure program, as it's labeled in the quotes, this is our purchase all the equipment up front option. Talking to Matt Church at InterDev, our IT company that does our IT work for us, offsite storage would likely be required to back up a lot of our video, most of our video, or all of it. My understanding from talking to Matt is that it wouldn't be a significant amount of storage because they compress the files. However, after talking about that, I I'm not an IT expert. I know they're listening to some of the stuff that came out of the Rittenhouse verdict recently and the trial. There was some issues with compressed videos that were the drone video that was shared, the FBI drone video, and from at least my knowledge from that trial, there was some issues with once the video is compressed, you lose a lot of the detail in it. So it's just something I don't know enough about, but it's something that, you know, to think about is there could be detail loss in these videos if they're compressed off-site. We have to actually, we lose our in-house stuff from a server explosion or fire or whatever it may be, and we have to pull it off-site. But I mean, not really something I'm terribly worried about, but it's something to consider. Unknown future storage needs, as I discussed, I kind of quoted out a bigger rack server because you just don't know how much storage we're going to need. When we're storing it ourselves, we have to constantly monitor that and make sure that we are able to meet our needs for storage. With the cloud-based solution, we don't have to worry about that. It's unlimited, at least when we're storing the WatchGuard medium. The other main issue we have is burning CDs and DVDs for evidence in court. We did talk about this last time. I actually did some calculations. You know, these are ballpark, obviously, but I've met with our records clerk, our records supervisor, I apologize, up front. According to our records supervisor, they spend about 52 to 208 hours a year burning DVDs just for court. They spend quite a bit more time, 416 to 1,248 hours on average annually burning DVDs just to go into our evidence. And when you calculate that at $22 an hour, which is the average hourly wage of the person who's actually doing this work, you know, at the high end of burning DVDs just for evidence at 1,248 hours a year, you're looking at $27,456 in cost of someone actually sitting at a desk burning DVDs. And it is time consuming. They averaged about 8 to 24 hours a week of just burning DVDs for evidence. And I think she said 1 to 4 hours a week of burning DVDs just to send to the state attorney's office. So it's quite a bit of time. Materials, just the DVDs themselves, She estimated from past purchases, they spend about $2,400 to $3,200 a year just in DVDs, the materials department. So, you know, looking at that in hours and material costs, it's anywhere between, costs us anywhere between $12,696 and $35,232 a year under our current setup. So, you know, obviously we're looking to go to the cloud base where everything just goes to the cloud. We don't have to burn CDs and DVDs anymore. And that should free up a lot of time. Another consideration is if we had internal storage, we went that route rather than the leasing program with the cloud storage, and we decided to get body cameras. We estimate probably three times the amount of video potentially would need to be stored and burned to DVD. And talking to Montgomery Police Department, they just had to hire a new records clerk because they store their body camera footage internally. They had to hire an extra clerk just to burn DVDs and CDs. And they, you know, we looked at into ours to hire another entry-level clerk with salary and benefits around $62,391. And the amount of hours, obviously, and you triple those and add a new clerk, you're looking at totals in the six-figure, $100,000, $168,000 a year when you include all the time spent burning DVDs for court evidence. Materials are obviously significantly more, and obviously the big numbers add an additional clerk, which we know Montgomery's already had to do. So
that makes no sense considering that most departments are going to online evidence sharing.
Yes.
And that's our big selling point, and it just makes sense to store everything in the cloud and share it with a link and take out all this wasted time spent burning DVDs. It is literally hours and hours and hours a week. So looking at that, the next thing is, okay, well now we have body cameras and we're gonna have to redact body camera footage for FOIA requests, right? So I know I talked last time about how specific the FOIA requests are in statute and the time. It takes 3 to 4 minutes per minute of video to do redaction. So talking to local agencies, Kendall County Sheriff's Department already has body cameras, Montgomery PD already has body cameras. They say that the software will go through and find all the things it thinks it needs to redact. Then the redaction, you know, person needs to sit down and watch every second of that video to make sure nothing was missed and verify that it was done properly. That's where that time spent comes. However, I said, how many of these do you get a year? Because I know talking to other agencies and at symposium I went to, that larger agencies said they don't spend hardly any time doing FOIA requests. Montgomery Police Department in 2021 had 2 FOIA requests for body cameras that they had to actually do redaction. The Kendall County Sheriff's Office for their patrol division, they had 8 FOIA requests in 2021 that they actually had to do redaction of body worn camera footage. So it's not a great deal. When it has to be done, it's time consuming, but it pales in comparison to the amount of time spent burning DVDs. And with body cameras, whether you have the cloud-based program or the internal storage, you still have to redact videos. So, you know, reduce the amount of time burning DVDs allows us to free up more than enough time to do redaction. And of course, now it frees up our people to do the stuff they need to be doing, data entry and things of that nature. So those are some of the things I've learned since then. Also of note, and I'll wrap this up and open up to any questions if you have any. The trailer bill from the Safety Act was passed this summer. Trailer bill number 2 actually passed yesterday. So there's several issues, but the only one that's relevant here is the body-worn camera. And I know last time we met, I was trying to explain labeling and flagging and everything, and it was very confusing. They finally cleaned some of that up, and so it is very clear now. Obviously, we talked about recordings that had to be flagged, or any recording is purged after 90 days by statute. Once something's flagged, it has to be stored for 2 years, and it's in statute what encounters are deemed to be flagged, and that's your formal, informal complaints filed against an officer. Officer discharges his or her firearm, uses force during the encounter, death or great bodily harm occurred to any person in the recording, encounter resulted in detention or an arrest, excluding traffic stops, which resulted in only a minor traffic offense or business offense. The officer is subject to internal investigation or otherwise being investigated for possible misconduct. The supervisor of the officer, prosecutor, defendant, or court determines that the encounter has evidentiary value, or the recording officer requests that the video be flagged. And, you know, to me, that's a situation where you had an encounter with a citizen, and they may wait 6 months to file a complaint, and after 90 days, that video is purged. That officer may say, you know, something about that didn't feel right. I think this person's going to make some kind of complaint, and I want to keep that video. We flag and keep for 2 years based on the officer's request. It's kind of a scenario where I see it going on. So where they clean the language up is in labeling. There was a lot of fear because the language wasn't clear that if something was labeled, it would be considered altering the video. So they changed in the trailer bill the body-worn camera portion of the Safety Act to state that nothing in this act prohibits law enforcement agencies from labeling officer-worn body camera video within the recording medium, provided that the labeling does not alter the actual recording of the incident. So now it's clear that if we go in and it'll be flagged as a certain incident that we're going to keep for 2 years, but then you can go into the video and label parts of it, and that won't be deemed as altering the video. So that was what was cleaned up. It's not a huge major issue, but unless you find yourself on the receiving end of some kind of punishment because the language wasn't clear and someone makes a claim that you violated the statute by altering the video. So I don't know if there's going to be any more changes. I know they're talking about a third trailer bill, but I haven't heard anything about body cameras and that. They seem to be pretty squared away and locked into where they're going to be right now. So, I had answered last time some questions that Chris Funkhauser had about fogging and impact resistance. I emailed the committee, so I hope you all got that email. And just you weren't here, as Alderman Funkhauser asked about impact resistance, and they are tested. I forget the rating capabilities. I sent in that email. I apologize, but they are impact rated. They are tested, and in the fogging, they have not had any issues with fogging that has been reported to WatchGuard, where they're not able to view video because of temperature differences and humidity and stuff. So those are the answers I received. But that being said, I think we clearly, we kind of laid out last time what the two options were, and this time we're looking to go with the leasing option with the cloud-based solution so that we can participate in the judicial sharing at some point. We can store all our video evidence in a cloud-based platform rather than burning DVDs and CDs for the reasons I laid out. So that's what I have to present tonight. So if anybody has a question, I'd be more than happy to answer any questions.
Alderman Soling, the email that Deputy Chief Mikulasek sent out in November says that they've been test dropped from 10 feet, so they're very, very sturdy, and they're waterproof IP67 rating, which I think is 3 feet of water for 30 minutes.
Yes, I had to look that up because I didn't know what that rating meant, so I Googled it.
these are like the old, what were those computers you mentioned?
Tough books.
They're like the old tough books, but they're actually more durable, so, and they're tiny. So
yeah. Part of the program with the lease program also, so let's just say that, you know, something does happen to the camera, it's under the lease program, it is replaced at no charge. If we purchase the cameras outright through that program, cameras get damaged, we have to purchase it outright again. So there's a few other comments I want to add quickly to Ray. One of the other reasons that we look at 33 cameras instead of 25 is under statute, all sworn officers, if they are going to be dealing with the public in certain circumstances, have to be able to record. So as an example, at a board meeting, if something happens and I'm sitting there, something happens and it's a situation where I need to record, I have to have the ability to have a body camera and record. It doesn't exempt command staff from that or city council meetings or anything like that. So We have 32 sworn officers now. This will give us one extra. Obviously, we're hoping to hire one for this next year, and that's part of it. The amount of funds that D.C. Mikulasek had talked about, keep in mind that's a worst-case scenario. That's without the grant funding that's in there. So the numbers that you're talking without grant funding are 147,970. That's broken out over a five-year period of time. And the first year is a little bit more than the second, third, and fourth year. But we currently have $50,000 in our FY22 budget for this. So I wouldn't be going to the city council saying, hey, I need a budget amendment. I need to, you know, I need 50 grand or 40 grand, whatever, to come to you guys and say we want to start this program early. And so that kind of leads me to what our ultimate, our recommendation would be. We are looking for the lease program, obviously for a ton of the reasons listed. One of the other reasons, and I know Ray mentioned it last meeting, but more for your information, it gives us unlimited storage. So we can include everything with the body cameras, but it also provides additional storage for
squad
cameras and things like that that we would have to pay for or included in that 116 terabyte server. And let's face it, once you run out of that, you got to increase that. I know 116 terabytes is just a ton of space, but with body camera footage and, you know, 4K recordings, I mean, it's going to take it up very quickly. So what our recommendation would be the lease program. And with everything that's happened in December, we are looking to actually implement this program now. We have the budget funding for it. The first year, it's not going to be over $50,000. Matter of fact, it will be less than $50,000. The numbers that Ray has produced and worked with WatchGuard to get is around $39,000 for the first year. The memo that you guys have had it broken down to $29,595. That number is not correct based on the specification and the quote that Ray got. So that first year is, let's just say, just under $40,000. And then every year after that, it's X amount of dollars for a grand total of $147,970. With everything that's going on or that has gone on, especially during the month of December, having body cameras would have been really important. And when you have officers coming in saying, Chief, we need body cameras, this protects us, this is a good thing, we need these, you know, that's, you know, I'm looking at that, especially coming up to us after the shooting we just had. I think it's very important, something that, you know, we as a command staff believe in and something we really want to do. So I guess I would ultimately ask you guys to obviously discuss and then at the next city council meeting approve that. So,
Alderman Merrick, you have anything, any questions, anything you'd like to add?
Got nothing, Mayor.
So,
the only question I had with the lease program, how long does that give you before they would like upgrade?
So that's the nice thing about the lease program is, lease program's five total years. The third year, we get all brand new cameras at the current new technology that those cameras are at that time. And then the fifth year, if we sign another five-year agreement with them, we get all brand new ones at the fifth year as well. So we're always going to try to stay on top of what that technology is.
In the event that in the future you decide to purchase, do they offer like a lease with a purchase option?
That I don't know. I think it's 5 years, and if you turn it back in, I don't know that we could in the middle decide, you know, I want to purchase all these. It's a conversation I haven't had yet, though, to be honest with you. You know, that obviously, as Chief Jen said, the advantage is not only getting the new cameras after 3 years, but it's that, you know, part of that cost without paying separately for the warranty is that no-fault warranty. I'm told literally if your body camera falls off and you drive over it, you just scoop pieces of it up and put it in an envelope, mail it back, and you get another one back. It's no questions asked, so.
Part of the, if we, let's just say we were going to go in and do what you talked about, like halfway through, we would have to then work out the storage abilities and then the evidence library that comes with the lease that doesn't necessarily come with the actual purchase part of that. So while I would assume we could do it, again, that's an assumption, there would be additional costs on top of that that, you know, we would have to look into and, you know, and have, you know, based on the purchase as compared to the lease.
When you say every officer, is that include like community police? Well, like no. He would not have
all sworn officers. So our CSOs, community service officers, they do not. They will respond to minor calls for service. They'll help us with traffic control. They'll handle property damage, crashes on private property. They'll respond to a barking dog complaint. But they are not going to be interacting with the public in a situation where they're dispatched to a domestic violence call or a fight in progress or a retail theft that's occurred at a, you know, a local.
And most important, they're not required by statute. Whereas we will be in 2025. We're just trying to get out ahead of it now. It's something we've believed in for a while now. And I think just it's the right time for us. We believe
they have a camera inside the vehicle.
Yes. So that's one of the things and that I know Ray talked about at the last meeting. Part of the reason we want WatchGuard, because there's other body cameras out there. Part of the reason we want WatchGuard is it will interface with our in-car video camera system. So we're able to pull the microphones that the officers currently wear on their in-car unit. We can get rid of those microphones because the body camera is the audio mechanism for that, and then it will integrate the audio and the video with the squad and with the body camera footage along with the audio so that that system is, I guess, for the lack of a better term, one total system, even though it's two separate recording devices. And in our cars, we also have cameras to the back, in the, you know, in the back for the prisoner section.
But so there's limitations to our in-car cameras. You know, generally, you're going to get straight ahead unless you move the camera,
right?
But the other limitation is our audio is very limited. You know, generally, you go to a call, say it's a domestic call, our officers park down the street, right? We don't like to pull up in front of the house. By the time you get to the house, you're already losing audio because the recording device, you have the microphone on you, but the system's inside the car, so you're losing that distance. With the body camera, everything is its own little computer, so to say. So the recording is all the recordings happening right there on that device, and so you don't lose the audio anymore. It has been frustrating sometimes when we've reviewed things for whatever reason, and you can hear the audio start to cut out, and you can tell they're getting a little bit farther away, and eventually you just completely lose the audio. And you have video of just looking straight out the car, and it's dark out, and you can't see anything. And so they're really limited. They're really designed for traffic stops. They're great for DUIs, things of that nature, but the calls where we're in people's homes are very limited.
Did the Sheriff's Office in Montgomery rent or buy, the lease or buy?
Montgomery bought, they do the internal storage themselves, and talking to their chief, the reason they did it the time they did it is because originally this lease program was over $100 per camera per month. It has since dropped to $49. It's half of what it used to be. They would have probably, talking to him, he would have gone to lease most likely if it was this price when they first looked at it. So the Sheriff's Department, I do not know.
I believe they lease. I'm not 100% on that, but I believe they lease.
I do know that Oswego Police Department is lockstep with us at about the same timeline right now, except for we have asked to step it up. But Oswego is looking, they're doing the same exact lease program through WatchGuard, looking to do the same thing. They already have WatchGuard in-car cameras. So, you know, I've been communicating with my counterpart over there that's working on the program. So. You know, we've compared quotes to make sure the prices are all where they're supposed to be, right? So somebody doesn't get charged more than the other person.
Sweet, guys got more officers. Let's charge more.
So,
well, the nice thing is when, you know, when you have multiple agencies which have the same body camera equipment or even the squad equipment, You know, we're having problems with something, it's very easy to communicate, pick up the phone, go to us, and say, hey, man, this is what we're having. What kind of problems are you guys having? Or what did you do to fix this? Or how did you do this?
That, and on the rare occasions where you're called out to an Oswego incident, or Oswego is called to Yorkville, the body cameras would probably sync in terms of being able to transmit them to Eric or to a defense lawyer. You know, it wouldn't be difficult getting two separate, but if you have the same provider, you wouldn't have to mess around with two different providers.
And the only thing I do know about the Sheriff's Department is they don't use WatchGuard. They went with the GTAC, which is the same company that was providing their in-car cameras at the time.
Right.
And as I mentioned last time, you know, the symposium went to where there's agencies, one of them was Elgin, has 188 officers, I believe, with body cameras. They've had a program for over 5 years, and they highly recommended that your body camera vendor be the same as your in-car cameras, because they did not do that, and they're currently trying to switch over. It's costing a lot of money because of all the issues they've had. So they said, if you're starting from scratch a program, make sure that your vendors are the same. So all the agencies in the area have the same vendors for their in-car and body cameras. And then say we'll have Montgomery Police Department and Oswego that we can bounce ideas off of and troubleshooting questions that maybe we don't need to get WatchGuard involved in. But those are some of the benefits. That was another benefit they suggest is, you know, if you have neighboring agencies, if you have the same vendor, that's a good thing, because they've learned from that too. So that's good.
The other nice thing, along with your last question, Craig, was the when you have the evidence library, which is what we're going to have with the police part of the program, when you have SWAT video and body cam video, you can upload that immediately right into our records management system. If you didn't have, if we purchased outright and didn't have the evidence library with that, it's not as easy to bring it right into the system. You'd have to, I would assume, manually at some point.
Well, we're going to have to burn a DVD.
So, burn a DVD, and evidence.
To catch you up quickly, too, some of the other benefits are with the Command Central Evidence Library. It's basically a cloud-based digital evidence management system. Right now, if someone has surveillance video on their house, they either have to burn us a DVD or CD, or we have to go to their house with a thumb drive, and they have to, you know, put out a thumb drive for us. With this Command Central and Lease program, which is only offered in this lease program, we can provide them a link or a QR code, and they can upload that video right into our evidence system, right into that report number that goes to that case from their phone or their house or wherever. And then it allows our officers to do the same thing with their department cell phones. They can say there's an ordinance violation, they can take a picture of the violation and upload it right to that case from their phone out in the field without having to come back here and put it through a computer, burn a DVD. So those are some of the additional benefits that we discussed and want to catch you up on. So.
I'm familiar with WatchGuard, and I get discs from multiple agencies. When I see that little shield pop up on my computer, I'm very pleased, because all I have to do is click on one little folder, a video that I want to watch starts playing, as opposed to some of these other programs where I have to open file after file after file after file, and eventually, after 20 minutes, I can find what it is I'm looking for. So I'm familiar with WatchGuard. It's very user-friendly.
Hey, having been in investigations, you know, you go get surveillance video from a business investigating a case, and there's software that comes with it to download the driver to be able to watch the video, and half the time that doesn't even work. And
evidence reviewer. Going back. You know that one?
Yes.
Oh, the worst. Yeah.
I've seen it all. We've had WatchGuard in-car cameras for a long time now, and we've been pretty active.
Yeah, well, this is the way of the future with the cloud-based and the evidence being disclosed to both the prosecution and the defense, and even civil lawyers, if they're going to file some type of complaints, you know, everything can be transmitted via the internet with a link. You click on it, and then they can have the burden of storing it on the computer or burning it to a disk.
One of the things that we do right now, and I'm sure you probably see it when you have a case, the state's attorney requests two copies of every single video. And so we have to provide the copy to the state's attorney, but we also then provide the copy to the defense attorney. That comes from us.
And what about the cases where there is no defense lawyer?
where they, you know, they got a guy speeding doing 45 over the limit. You know, this is going to show because they're a lawyer. Yep. But you got to make two discs.
Got to make two discs, and that's part of what, you know, the state's attorney's office is wanting us to do. Now we can just send a link, and we can save all of that time. So
I witnessed the production up there, and they go in the office, and they have two burners, and they have two clerks, and they're just sitting there waiting for, you know, the cassettes to pop out and pop the new next disc in, and it's quite a production, and there's two desks with things laid out everywhere. Watching them burn DVDs, it's quite an undertaking, and this happens several times a week. It's a lot of work.
It hasn't changed from when you put your buddy's Aerosmith disc in, or the tape in your deck, and
it really has.
No, it hasn't.
Aerosmith.
I was going back. No,
that's the Montana jersey, dude.
There's nothing wrong with Aerosmith, all right?
I can't say Cardi B.
Right, no.
Well, you could,
but you can't find Cardi B on cassette tape.
Well, that's true. No. That's true. I shall probably be born.
No. Yeah, I was, though. Anyone else have any questions about this particular item? Do you want to move it forward to City Council for discussion and vote on Tuesday? Alderman Merrick?
I'm going to move forward.
I see Alderman Funkhauser on here. Do you have any questions, Chris?
Sorry, I do not have any questions at this moment.
All right, thanks, man. Well, then I guess we will move on to new business.
If anybody, just in closing, if anybody has any questions they think of after, just feel free to call me, email me, whatever, and I'll get you an answer. So.
Thanks,
Ron. Thank you. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
So now we'll move on to new business. Agenda item number one under new business, PS 2022-1, monthly report view for October and November of 2021.
So we've got October and November attached. I'll go through the reports like we do pretty much every meeting. Into the overtime hours worked in the month of October. In the month of October, we had 55.5 hours. 21 of those hours were reimbursable through HIDA, which is our CPAT and CIT. You're going to see multiple different events during the community policing initiatives, a lot of photos, a lot of different events that occurred in town, like BizBoo, Halloween. We had an event at 360 Hazardous. They're super good to us. And, there's also a couple different photos of lost dogs and Facebook posts. Our amount of training that we did in the month of October, we had 507.5 hours in the month of October for training. Going to the crash statistics, you know, it's always difficult. I'm always trying to break down what's the day of the week and what's the time that we notice a lot of crashes. And the day of the week, it looks like we had Monday, Sunday with 9 and Thursday with 8. And then I go to November, we're going to talk about in a little bit, Wednesday and Friday were the high numbers. So trying to pick a date and trying to identify the specific time frame of where we're at is just difficult to do. So, but we want to make sure we provide that data so you guys know where the stuff's happening and what time. To go over to the crime reporting, our offense summary for Part 1 crimes. Right now we are less 231 Part 1 crimes from this time last year through November. I'm sorry, through October from 21 compared to 20. In Part 2 crimes, we are 85 less. Part of the major reason for the significant drop in Part 1 crimes is the theft and the unemployment fraud that's been going on. That's categorized as a Part 1 crime under the theft statute, and we had so many of those that, you know, that's what really kind of inflated our Part 1 crimes under the theft this last year. Our patrol arrests, you see, from our total from 2020 as compared to 2021 in October, we're plus 22 arrests as compared to the previous year. Our calls for service, the number of incidences were plus just over 1,300, actually I should say just under 1,400 more. In our vehicle usage and expenses, you're gonna see our gasoline expense was increase from October of 20 through October of 21, an increase of about $1,500. for the gasoline expense. Our numbers of gasoline, number of gallons, we were 302 less gallons of gas, but our overall expenditures were more, and obviously it's because of the cost of gasoline. The increase per gallon was roughly $1.20 increases compared to this time last year. And that is the month of October. And then the month of November, we have, again, just kind of jumping through our overtime, we had 43.25 hours, 22 of that was court time. Only 6.5 were reimbursable through CPAT, HIDA money, and then 11 hours of that are school events. You know, we go to the high school, we go to Parkview Christian, Yorkville Christian. When they request an officer at different events, you know, we supply that officer. We eat the cost of that officer. So so we had 11 hours for events. The school liaison officer. We also had Thanksgiving. So if you go to our community policing initiatives in here, we did an event at the senior homes where we delivered pies and just took a bunch of photos with the seniors in town, three different senior homes through town, and absolutely had a blast. It was just unbelievable how awesome it was and how well received it was from the residents there. Enough so we continue to go to Cedarhurst every Wednesday at 9 a.m. for coffee with the cop, and just, it's actually the best part of my week, going in there and seeing people. Obviously, we also know that Commander Carlisle was promoted, and there was a Facebook on that, a picture of Commander Carlisle and Sergeant Nelson. And then we also had a new officer hired, Officer Lobdell. He is our 32nd sworn officer for the city, and he comes to us from, he lives in the Plano area, and comes to us from originally the Plano area. Department, so he has some previous police experience, which is very nice. Our training hours, we had 338 hours of training during the month. And then jumping forward to the crimes, because this is the section I jump to all the time, just because that's the, you know, in my mind, I want to know about crime and, you know, whether we're increasing, whether we're reducing crime. So our crime reports for part one crimes, again, we are 204 less than what we, I'm sorry, 220 less than what we were going to be the previous year, November 20 compared to 21. And we're projected to be 204 less by the end of the year if you break it up by the 12 months. Part two crimes were projected to be less there as well by about 26, which is a very good thing because part two crimes didn't really get affected with the fraud and the theft. Our overall non-criminal reports, you're going to see a significant increase of about 308. If right now comparing 20 to 21, 11 months of the year, but you're also going to see 174 less property damage crashes, which is very good. Sad part, you're going to see an increase of 41 personal injury crashes as compared from 20 to 21 in the first 11 months. You know, we've got three major highways, 71, 47, 34, 126. You know, we've got some major highways in town, and three of them are four lane now. And so it's pretty fast. You guys see pass on, so you see the amount of traffic that we're running. And then breaking down our total calls for service, we are still at an increase of about 1,236 calls for service in the 11 months. And our squad car operations, you know, we're up $1.30 in gasoline from November to November. We had an increase of total gasoline expense of roughly $2,200 with an actual decrease in gallons of gas by 226. So we are doing everything we can. At this point, we are right on budget, where we budgeted for gasoline for our department. If you break it out through end of April, what we've been paying by month so far, we are on point exactly, and we're doing a lot of things to try to make sure we can maintain that. Gas prices continue to go up or continue at the price they're at. We are going to be over budgeting gas, so we are not running cars during the winter time. They start the car, get the frost off. Once they do that, shut the cars down. Obviously, idling cars not only hurts the car, but it uses a lot of gasoline as well. So that's kind of where we're at with the monthly reports. I'll take any questions.
Matt, you got any questions? Craig? No? Okay, those are information. So we will now move on to PS 2022-02, adjudication reports for November and December of 2021.
So going through November and all the way through December, our adjudication reports, you know, you're going to see a lot of garbage, rubbish, certain weeds. Those are all issued by the city, on the city side of stuff. So if there's specific questions about that, I will write down what your questions are. I'll get you guys the answers on that. But that's obviously Pete and his crew. You're going to see a lot of the same impounded vehicles for our admin tows, possession of cannabis by persons under 21. You're going to see some possession of cannabis and paraphernalia. When you see a lot of that, if you're not 21, you're not allowed to possess it. So, you know, there's an ordinance ticket written for that. So that's several of the violations. There was one dangerous and vicious domestic animal. We had a dog that got out and bit a person. So that person was issued a citation. And that's really it. There's really nothing of much change of what's normal in the adjudication type reports. So I'll take any questions.
Nothing?
Cool.
No. Matt? All right. We move on to our last item on new business. PS 2022-3, the department goals for 2022.
So this is something that we've actually struggled with trying to identify, not identify necessarily our goal, but how are we wanting to describe it to our officers? When we say every decision we make, we want to make with absolute excellence, it's easy to say, but what does it really mean? So often, police departments will come in with a goal of, I want to reduce Part 1 crimes by X percentage. I want to reduce the amount of injury crashes. It's our opinion, that's our job every single day. And while that's our job every single day, it's something we have to do every single day, whether a person likes doing traffic stops or not. Their job is traffic. That's part of what we do. That's what policing is in a large part, right? So because we know that's our job, we also want to be able to go out and hold people accountable for doing other things. If that's already our job, we know what we're supposed to do, then we want to identify goals that, you know what, how can we make the city better other than just, and safer, other than just saying we're going to reduce the amount of crashes we have in town. In some cases we can, in some cases we can't. It depends on the winter, depends on the ice, depends how many cars, events, you know, different things like that. So our focus this year is really on, we're going to do the things we're supposed to do anyway, but every single decision we make, we want to make with absolute excellence. And that stems from the top on down and the bottom on up, every single thing that we do. We know there's going to be bad days. We know people are going to, you know, they're going to be upset with certain things, and sometimes they're going to do things that maybe they shouldn't do. And we're going to hold each other accountable to what those behaviors and what those actions are. But our focus is really going to be on getting out into the public, interacting with the public, taking every single call that we can take, as far as we can take it, so that we provide the support and service to the public to make sure that they receive the service that they are paying for every single day, every single week, every single month. So we're going to hold ourselves accountable to what those actions are. And then from there, we're going to look at, okay, how the question naturally in my mind comes to, okay, you're going to say you're going to do this, but how are you going to measure that you're doing it? How are you going to know that you're doing it? And on the second page of the information that was given to you guys, it's pretty much our measures for success. You know, we check pass on every single day. I get pass on just like you guys. We review pass on every single day. If there's something in pass on that just doesn't look right, doesn't look complete, looks like we need to do a little bit more work on, we jump on that immediately. So if one of the examples I can give you is a missing person. If we have a missing person case and the information that's a pass on that you guys see, if I don't see a follow-up and pass on that missing person has been recovered, then we jump on that the very next day. So that's one measurement of success. Supervisor meeting, we have monthly sergeants meetings that we're going to talk about the performance of the officers, individual performances of the officers. We're going to talk about how many complaint reviews do we get, how many internal investigations do we have, how many informal complaints that we receive from the public about an officer specific to maybe a traffic stop or a call for service where the officer was maybe reported to be rude. Department complaint reviews, that's the internal affairs investigation. And so we track every single complaint. If somebody comes in and says, you know, the officer was rude and I want to make a complaint, it may not fall to the level of an actual internal investigation, but that doesn't mean we don't look at it. We take that information, it's called an informal inquiry. We take that person's information, we investigate that complaint, we find out the result, we find out what occurred, and obviously the end results are communicated to the person that made the complaint, if that's what they're looking for. So somebody comes in and wants to remain anonymous, we take those complaints, we look at those complaints and investigate them. So that's the department complaint reviews. Our response to resistance reviews and incident debriefings, every time we use force on someone, we review every single use of force. It goes through a four-level review process. It starts out with the sergeant that was on duty at that time, then it goes to our defensive tactics or firearms, master firearms instructors, then it goes to the deputy chief, and then it goes to me. We look at all KenCom paperwork, we look at all KenCom, or listen to all KenCom audio, we look at all video, we look at all reports, we look at body camera footage, whether it's from our agency in the future or other agencies, squad car footage, and we determine, did we do the right thing? Was the force we used appropriate? Was it necessary? We find out whether or not we have policy failures, whether or not we have training, lack of training in certain areas that we need to make sure we improve on. Or maybe we find out, you know what, we did everything right and this response to resistance was justified. Then we do incident debriefings. Obviously, every big incident, or I can't say big incident, we review sometimes a missing juvenile. Did we do the things right? We pull the policy. The sergeant reviews it with their staff. They say, okay, did we do this? Did we do this? Did we do this? Our guideline is our policies. We follow what our policies say. At least we should be. We do our daily pass-on audits, which I mentioned earlier, and our social media audits. You know, there's a lot of times we get on social media, and you know, we have a pretty good following on social media. So we're reviewing social media to make sure that, you know, what are people saying? And if what they're saying is negative, we look into that. Or if there's a question, or somebody's complaining on social media, or just frankly just a negative comment, we're looking into that stuff to say, okay, this person's saying this, is what they're saying correct? And then we, you know, look into it through the complaint process, so to speak. And oftentimes we'll communicate back on social media through private messaging. Finally, the personal early warning system. We currently do not have one of those. It's called a PEW system. But we, this year, our goal is to develop a very comprehensive personal early warning system. And basically what that is we're going to track certain events and certain things that occur throughout the course of a daily shift with an officer. Maybe it's weekly, maybe it's monthly. We're going to track situations like pursuit reviews, response to resistance, citizen complaints, sick time, whether there's issues of, you know, a negative dealing with a sergeant, anything that could be related to something affecting the officer, whether it's personal or whether it's professional. We're going to develop a program that tracks that and then identify, okay, if we have a person that's had a pursuit, three use of forces, and two citizen complaints in a month's period of time, we're going to need to talk to that officer. We need to find out, is everything okay? Whether it's, is everything okay at work, or maybe there's issues at home, maybe there's substance abuse issues, maybe the officer's not sleeping. Maybe we had a critical incident and the officer is going through some things in his own head, not getting the sleep that they need. We're trying to resolve situations before they become major problems, not only for the officer, but for the department and the city. So we will be developing a PEWS program and system to help track that, to make sure that the mental and physical health of our officers is watched, monitored, and reviewed, if that makes sense. So, you know, part of doing this and developing this goal is I'm meeting with every individual officer on the department, and we're reviewing what this goal is and what this goal means. and I sent out a video to everyone. And part of that video was, you know, when you talk about being excellent, you talk about, you know, our department, I'm not comparing this department to Kendall County, Oswego, Plainfield, or any other police department. We're going to compare things to ourselves and make sure we're doing the right things. And part of our way of making sure that we hold people accountable and that they understand what excellence is by understanding what they want to have our department legacy be. And if they want our department legacy to be to the public, that's a great police department. That department listens. That department cares about its people. That department's professional. That's the legacy that we want to leave with our police department in the city. So we asked that question to the officers. What do you want our legacy to be? And I'm writing down their answers. The second question and the last question I ask them is, what do you want your individual legacy to be? And if your individual legacy is, I don't care, well then this is not the right place for you. Your individual legacy, we focus on our three non-negotiables. One of them is community policing and professionalism. And second is professionalism, along with honesty and integrity. Our goal is to focus on those three things. And if you as an individual want your legacy to be that you're a police officer that cared about people and worked with people and responded and helped anybody, that's the legacy we want, because our legacy is positive, whether it's about the police department or about the individual, your own personal legacy, then we're going to have a quality police department because they're going to do the things they need to do because they care. So that's our focus this year with our goal. It's a little different. It's not the normal goal that I'm sure you guys have probably heard. Yeah, we want to make sure we reduce this, or we don't want to have, you know, this, or I don't want any complaints, you know, any valid complaints come forward, right? There's certain things you have control and certain things you don't. But I have control about what I do. I have control about what I say. I have control about how I say it. If we have that control, then we just have to be better at how we perform and how we interact with the public. So that's our goal for 2022.
Sounds good to me. Had someone join us.
You did? Alright. Oh, Kay Casco.
Yeah. You know who that is?
I don't.
Anyone have any questions for Chief Jensen on the officer goals or the department goals for 2022? No? Well, then I think we end with, let me jump up here. Any additional business for tonight's Public Safety Committee meeting? Looks like we lost our visitor.
Yeah.
What? No one ever shows up for our committee meetings. Well, with nothing additional, I think we can adjourn. It's now 7:03. I think we can close tonight's Public Safety Committee meeting. Yes.
Thanks,
all right. Thank you. Everyone have a good night.